Is the pain of your past destroying you? Real life starts now.
Welcome to Real Life with Evangelists Ann and Kathleen Lay, where people with real problems find answers in a real God.
Welcome to Real Life. I'm your host, Kathleen Lay, and joining me is my husband, Evangelist Ann Lay.
Later in the show, you'll hear from Adam Davis, who was sexually abused by a neighbor when he was a very young boy.
You know, I think when we are young and things happen to us, we can just live our lives in a mode of survival. And I know that's what happened to me. I was just going from one thing to another in my life. And it wasn't until I had a moment of time to just sit back and reflect where it felt like everything fell on me, where it just all caved in and my life was just a wreck.
Wow. Yeah, sexual abuse or any type of abuse can really devastate people, you know, and these pains of the past. I guess the question is, what do you do with it? Because it's in the past. You can't go in a time machine and change the past.
Right.
But yet we dwell on it and dwell on it and dwell on it. And it's so easy to do that, thinking we can somehow fix it from the point of the future or the present. But we can't do anything about the past. So what do you do?
Yeah. And I think for me, what happened is when I got married to you, I finally had a chance to relax and look back at my life. And it was no longer survival mode. Yeah. And I started to have PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, where I would relive those moments in my life where I went through a very hard time and it caused more problems. And I think when we live in the past, instead of walking forward or getting that healing and going over and over in our mind, it's like we're being traumatized over and over. And if there's skeletons in the closet and you're not telling someone the pain you went through, you're not getting through it and asking God to heal you, then those past things can hold up your future and cause you to be depressed, feel alone. You can even, for me, I was suicidal at that time in my life.
It can eat you up from the inside out. And so what do you do with it?
Yeah.
Well, let's take a look at the Bible. You know, the Bible says something so amazing. It says, the Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit. You know, when something in our past happens and it breaks, we can't fix it. But something amazing is the Lord will draw near to you as you begin to talk to him about those moments. You're going to have to get real and raw with God and have a contrite spirit. Really talk to him about it and really expect that he's going to talk back to you through the word. But what I've found is when I've really opened up about past hurts and just let myself cry before the Lord, he began to heal my broken heart and begin to give me a new heart.
And I think that's so wonderful. And that's what started to happen to me. Instead of saying, why did this happen to me? Why me? And being angry, because I started becoming with God angry and angry with other people and at myself. I started to say, okay, Lord, forgive me for my part. And I forgive those who hurt me. And here's what happened. Please heal my soul. And he wants to heal our souls. And then the Lord would say to me, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. And that's in Isaiah 43, 18 and 19. And Paul talks about it in Philippians. He says, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. If we can focus on the goal after we've gotten that healing from God, we can get further with him. God doesn't want us to live in our past. He doesn't want us to look back because he has better things for us. God loves you. He wants to heal your broken heart. And we're going to hear from someone who God healed his heart right here after the break.
Real Life is made possible this week by Four Seasons Nails and our Awakening Colorado monthly giving partners. Like to be pampered? Come to Four Seasons Nails, where customers always leave feeling relaxed and looking good. Located in Denver's historic Highlands neighborhood, Four Seasons Nails is your oasis to escape from stress, offering a wide variety of professional nail and waxing services. Come to Four Seasons Nails at 3481 West 32nd Avenue in Denver or call them at 303-455-3025.
Do aliens exist?
Is there more than one way to God?
Is casual sex okay?
Our new 11th hour TV show is tackling difficult
philosophical,
cultural,
and spiritual questions
in a fun new way from many perspectives to help you decide for yourself.
Watch us on the 11th hour, Mondays at 7 p.m. and Saturdays at 6:30 p.m.
on CTN, available on Comcast and Dish Network.
Dish Network.
For more information, go to www.awakeningthenations.com. That's www.awakeningthenations.com. Welcome back to Real Life. I'm your host, Kathleen Light, and joining me is my husband, Evangelist Don Lay.
Hello, everyone.
And joining us is Adam Davis. At a young age, Adam was sodomized by someone in the neighborhood, a man, and through that, he became very closed off to a lot of people, never told anyone what happened. He ended up becoming a police officer and worked his way into investigations, and then all of it came forth in his heart, and he started to have a lot of frustrations and anger and hatred in his heart, and through this, he even wondered if God was real. Let's welcome to the show, Adam. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much. Isn't mercy and grace of God good? I was in a bad place, and I'm glad I get to share the story with y'all.
Thank you for sharing it. So it all began when you were a young boy. You were maybe 6 years old, and you were just out and about in the neighborhood. And tell us a little bit about how someone would entice you or bring you into your home, how you ended up going to this neighbor's house.
Yeah, obviously it was not a family member. It was just a neighbor, someone that as children we were staying with just during the day here and there. And, you know, it started with pornography and then obviously the horrible acts of sexual abuse and sodomize and all this stuff. And, you know, that brought a lot of shame on me. I kind of felt like I was the one who was doing something wrong. But at 5, 6 years old, whatever the age was, it's difficult to process that, especially if you're not sure how to talk about it.
Mm.
It was somebody that my family knew and had a great deal of trust and respect for, and I didn't say anything. I think it was more out of shame than anything. And, you know, I didn't talk about that for a very, very long time till I was in my 20s.
So tell me about, as a young boy, this was a family friend in the neighborhood. Did he entice you with candy at first or anything, or like, hey, come here, this will be our secret? Because there is a term called grooming, and we'll talk about that later. But tell me, what would get you to go to this guy's house and hang out with him?
Yeah, you know, I don't remember all of that. I know that we were staying there quite a bit just because of parents working, and it was just convenient to stay there and for them to kind of quote unquote babysit us. You know, I don't recall any grooming. I don't recall any type of bribes or things of that nature. I do remember that just, you know, at that young of an age, someone that was older, you look up to them and you kind of follow their lead and do what they say to do, you know?
Mm.
And it doesn't have to be candy or toys or something along those lines. If they've already got the relationship and the connection established, then you just kind of trust them and do what they say, that it's the right thing to do. It's important because at that age, looking back now, people can deceive children into thinking that, hey, you don't talk to anybody about this. This is just our special relationship. This is just things that we do and nobody else needs to know about it. And abuse and sexual abuse and things of this nature can go on for a long time and nobody know about it. And it creates a devastating pain and hurt in the life of so many people.
Right. And so as you're growing up, your parents knew nothing about the sexual abuse that happened from this guy. What did it do to your personality? Did it change things for you as you were growing up? What started to happen to you as you got older?
You know, I think that by all clinical standards, I should have been a messed up individual as an adult, but thank God I'm not. But as a teenager, I was very sexually active, very driven to have a relationship with the opposite sex, and very irresponsible with the feelings and the lives and the emotions of females. That was probably the biggest thing that it did for me, was it created a perverted sense of what sex was supposed to be and what intimate relationships were supposed to look like and how those things are supposed to develop.
So as a young boy, you kind of stuffed your emotions and continued to move forward in life. And it wasn't until you were about 20 years old when you finally told your mom and your family what happened. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, I shared it with my wife first, and we were married at 18 years old and are still married, and we have 3 kids. But I told my wife first and shared that with her. I shared it with my parents, but it was very, very difficult to share that, even as a grown man who was about to be a father. It was extremely painful to deal with that because I wasn't sure how I was going to deal with it. I just knew I needed to deal with it. And it was absolutely necessary for me to do it in order to find true healing and to let go of all of the hate. I hated this individual that did this to me as a child.
Well, I understand that you ended up becoming a cop, and through that, you started to get promoted and became an investigator, and you were assigned to handle sex crimes at one point, and this is where things started to become very rough for you. Tell me about that.
Well, as I was addressing and dealing with sex offenders, I didn't deal with them with hate, but I dealt with them with absolutely no mercy. Mm. I still saw them as monsters, and in many cases, they are. So you still deal with them with firmness. You're professional, but I was sure that I was not going to let this happen to anybody else if I possibly could. If it was in my power, I was not going to let these people prey on other children. Mm. So it really gave me a driving force to make sure I did the very best I could.
Wow.
I wanted to be sure that I empathized with the victims and that I understood that they were dependent on me as a law enforcement professional to do my job well so that I could take care of this and get them justice. But as a law enforcement officer, I developed a very hard heart. Mm. And I can't tell you the specific year. I can't tell you the specific time. But I developed a very hard heart. And, you know, it was really seeing all the evil, seeing all the hate and the violence. And, you know, started to question, God, if you love us, why does all this stuff happen? Why are you letting this stuff happen?
Well, let's talk about that in our next show, where I want to have you back to share with us how you did come to that point and how things came to a place where you actually didn't even know if God existed and you were angry. So we're going to have you on our next show to share the place where you were at, even suicidal, and how things changed for you. Thank you so much, Adam, for being with us.
Thank you so much for letting me share.
Well, you know, something that really just sticks out to me is that a lot of the things that happen in people's past, they really kind of sometimes don't come out till people are older, or they affect someone's life where they don't even know that they're being affected by that. You know, like a personality change or a certain desire. I'm sensing there's someone listening right now who's saying, gosh, you know, I've really never thought about that for me. I wonder if that one moment or that time where I had been abused, did it change how I think? Did it change how I view sex? Did it change how I view life? Does it change how I act?
Mm-hmm.
And if that's the case, how do you get healed from that? Well, the Bible says is that Jesus makes people whole. He was always making people whole. And so Jesus, right now, I'm lifting up someone who's listening and saying, gosh, I think that's me. Jesus, first of all, reveal how I was affected in the past, but then most of all, bring that wholeness into my life. Make me whole so the things of my past don't change or dictate my future in a negative way. Father, we ask for this in Jesus' mighty name for healing for someone who's listening right now.
Yes, and we pray for redemption, that you would make all things new for those who have been hurt or abused, that Father, you will make them whole, as An said. God bless you all. Thanks for tuning in. You're listening to Real Life.